Welcome, everyone. It's 6:02, and I will call to order the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting for February 8th, 2022. This is a joint meeting with the Finance Committee. Sole purpose of this Select Board meeting is to meet with Finance Committee. So do you want to call your meeting to order, Tom? Or because at least you have a quorum now, so you might as well call it to order. And then I'll do callers.
Okay, yeah, we'll call our meeting to order at 6:03. And let's say we have Ned, Will, and myself.
Yeah.
So we have a quorum. And I'll turn it back over.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
And I should announce the meeting is being recorded. And let's see. So we'll do roll call, identification of callers. Myself, Robin Provost Carlson, I'm here, Select Board member. We have Sue Lively, Select Board here. Member. We have Hilma, Town Coordinator.
I'm here.
The Finance Committee is here. Now we have Bob as well. So we have Tom, Will, Ned, and Bob, four members, and the meeting's open for them as well. And then visitors, some have budget hearings with us this evening. Police Chief John McDonough is here, and he has a budget hearing at 7:30. And let's see, we have the Gruens times two. We have the Gordons times two. We have Cars times two.
Right.
And Gloria's here. Hey, Gloria.
Hi, times one.
Times one, one time. I think that's it for right now. So Brian is going to be late for those who didn't hear. And I'm not sure about, things are happening. And I'm not sure about Alice. So we will, I guess, go through, I'll kind of just go over a brief summary of what I was hoping to accomplish tonight. Obviously, we have the three budget hearings. We have Highway Superintendent Jeff at 6:15. We have Fire Department Chief Nick at 7. And as I said, Police Department Chief John at 7:30. And then on the list, there's a handful of other items that I was hoping that that we can, you know, get as much talk about as we can in between these budget hearings, but also just really to be able to kind of highlight some of the items that we need to talk about in our future meetings if we don't get them to them tonight. And the plan, as far as I understand, and I don't think it's changing, is every other week will be Finance Committee for the next however long we need it. And the off weeks will be our normal Select Board meetings. So next week, we'll go back Select Board to a normal Select Board meeting with a public comment. But for tonight, it's just a Finance joint meeting. Since we have a little bit of time before 6:15 and Jeff's not here yet anyways, we could, I'll review the agenda. I've kind of gone over that. Hilma, anything else that needed to be added?
Well, the other thing that I had thought of, which is if you folks want discussion of, are there any other departments that you would like to meet with for budget hearings?
Okay.
So that I could be working on getting those scheduled.
Okay. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
So we were just going over the agenda. We did our, both meetings are open, FinCom and ours. And anything else on the agenda for you?
Well, this goes under the unanticipated business. And that is the editorial that was written in the Recorder that makes, I mean, in my estimation, some charges of criminal conspiracy, which I think we can't just let sit.
Okay.
Did you look at it?
I did briefly, but we certainly can talk about it. We can put that on the agenda. Yeah, yeah. Other things for you, Brian?
No, that's it. I already put the ledge road on there.
Okay. Sue, anything for you on the agenda?
Okay.
Maybe we'll just talk a little bit too as we're waiting as far as how this is going to roll out over the next month or so. I'm guessing Finance Committee, you guys must have a meeting coming up too without us at some point.
Yeah, our next meeting is the 17th.
Okay.
Which will be next week. And I had planned on we'll be taking in a lot of information tonight, I'm guessing, and that I was planning that at our next meeting we can go back and review what we need, some of the issues that we come up with tonight that we don't quite get to or whatever, and then we'll be back the following week back to a meeting with the select board.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. I think one of the items that's on our other business, while we have a couple minutes waiting for Jeff, that is one of the high priority for right now, not necessarily the coming budget, but right now, is the first item that's under other business, and that is the special town meeting possibility. The driver of that is the current and upcoming legal bills that we have for, in particular, a handful of items up till now, but most recently and current is the whole AT&T issue. So we have to, as a group, decide how we're going to move forward with the fact that we already have an invoice that if we were to pay it, and that's for December, right, Helma?
That's correct.
Yeah, if we were to pay that, that would put us over budget by $5,000. And like I said, that's just getting us through December. So we're already into February. So we have January, which has been pretty active. And depending on how the next couple weeks to a month rolls out and what happens, the introduction of the intervener group, if that is allowed by the courts, that would, you know, most likely extend us legally through the rest of this fiscal year. So we, you know, it's not just this $5,000 hole that we've got to figure out. It's the bigger picture of what's going to happen over the next, you know, 5 to 6 months. And so one of those options is obviously to call a special meeting. And the select board has just briefly spoken about it, but I don't think we came to a conclusion. We were hoping that as a group, we could, you know, figure out the best route to take. I think that based on the number we could be looking at, the amount, I think my opinion of what our option is to go to STM in March and make a guesstimate as what we think that could be. I mean, my guesstimate would be upwards of maybe 15 to 20,000, maybe more. So the idea of just overspending isn't something that obviously makes makes sense or is the correct way to handle it when we know we have such a large number. So I was hoping that on your agenda for your finance committee meeting next week, you guys could talk about that a little. And I'm just going to give Brian and Sue a chance to kind of chime in on that a little bit too, so that you can take all of the three of our information back to your meeting next week. So Sue, I don't know if you had any other thoughts that you wanted to share about that tonight.
No, just a question, because I'm not that familiar yet with all the budgeting. It seems to me like a special town meeting is really the only way that this can be addressed. Am I right in thinking that? Are there other options?
Well, if we were further in the season, we could always look to see if we had some type of, you know, excess monies. I don't see that is being a way. I mean, we still have to get we can transfer at a certain point. But I just don't, with a number that could grow with this unknown, I think that STM is the best approach to it. And I think we have to put that number out.
We couldn't transfer that much money. It's it's only 10% of the budget that you could transfer. So.
Right. So we could only transfer the small chunks, and it's just not going to, it's not going to work. We don't know. I mean, that number I think is going to be high. I mean, that's my gut. That's just my gut.
I think we should, or Hilma should ask Mark if he has like an estimation of what this, what this might cost so that we have something to go on.
I mean, my thought based on what's happened, when I look at what the cost in December, how we got to the 5,000, in excess of, or 5,000 for December, it's easy for me to say it's another close to 5,000 for January, based on the amount of work between those 2 months. So that's pushing us into 10 just there. And then, February, March, April, May. If you threw out another 2,000 to 2,500 for those next 4 months or something, there's another 10,000 easily. So I think that number's 20. Hilma, if you want to reach out and see if what Mark thinks, based on just his gut feeling too right now. And where they are. I mean, he obviously knows where they are. We're almost, we're into the second week of February already. So he can give us a number up till now, I would think, or pretty close.
Well, we could sort of split the difference and not do like all the way to town meeting, but just halfway. And then we could appropriate the rest of the money just before town. Or at town meeting if necessary. Yep. But I have a feeling a decision will get made and this will probably get wrapped up before town meeting. I think considerably before.
Tom?
Yeah, I was thinking that, in the past, I don't know how I haven't had a chance to really look through the budget, but the highway department's salt and sand, depending on the year, if we could get $5,000 or $6,000, enough to pay this bill, we wouldn't have to have a special town meeting. And it would give us a little more time to see what's going to happen with those in the future for the legal bills. But I agree with your, I kind of agree with your number that we're going to have to ask for. We don't want to have to go back for a special town meeting the second time if we can help that. But so just a thought.
Okay. So two comebacks on that. I know Hilma has reached out to the departments now, including highway. And I guess Jeff, are you here, Jeff, now?
I just joined.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Jeff. So I think that, and Hilma can continue this reach out just to check in and see where people are, where they feel they are currently with their existing budget. One, if they've overspent, or two, if they, if they see any shortcomings, or if they see any excess pots of money anyplace. So that conversation can continue too, which is kind of what you're just saying, Tom, to see what's out there for money.
Yeah.
And then if Mark can give us where we are currently up to date, that would be great. Or at least the budget.
We can't transfer money from one account to another though without a special town meeting, right? We still would have to have the special town meeting.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay, it is 6:17. We're going to hop into the budget hearing for the highway department. Hey, Jeff.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Hanging in there.
You want to go over your budget quick and then we can open it up for any questions?
So I left my lines the same.
Yep.
And this, I did the same thing for this current fiscal year, because I wasn't I wasn't sure what inflation was going to do and where we're at with inflation and the way things are going. We're not going to see anything getting better. So instead of asking for more, I left it the same. It's the numbers aren't set in stone, but I had two quotes for capital expenses. One was a replacement plow, the mud plow on the Dodge truck number 4. That plow is roughly about 17 years old, and it's showing signs of it's got holes in it, cracks. And so far, the only quote I've received was for $7,600. And in the past, I've asked to replace Jason's truck, and we put a lot of money into that. And that this year, with all the money we've put into it, it actually, knock on wood, I don't want to curse myself, but it's a sound vehicle right now. The problem is the 2012 International over the last couple of years has had nothing but problems in terms of being a dependable vehicle. I think this year we're maybe $12,000 in repairs. Last year we were about $17,000. And so I put in a request for a new big truck with the intention of trading in the 2012. The issue is, you can't find trucks right now. They're not building them. Parts are unavailable, like bodies. And the cost was $282,000. For that replacement. That's without knowing how much we'd get for Don's truck. And I believe I sent that to them, quotations to Hilma late morning, early afternoon today.
Yeah, I think everybody has those, right?
Yeah, I got them.
Yeah, okay. Well, can you just back up, Jeff, on that? Just so trading it, so keeping Jason's.
Well, eventually Jason's is going to need to be swapped out.
Yeah.
But in the best interest of the town, you're not going to get any trade in for it. So yeah. It wouldn't hurt just keep that truck, because I would like to go with another smaller truck like the Dodge, because that Jason's route was dirt roads, which are about 12 to 16 feet wide. And there's no reason to have a big truck on them. But it doesn't make sense to trade it in, because you ain't going to get nothing for it. But in a sense, it would help us out just to keep it and use it as a backup vehicle if one went down. Or you use it as your summer truck where you're hauling stumps and stuff like that instead of putting the mileage and the wear and tear on one of your newer vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And then keep in mind that over the years we created that capital replacement plan, that spreadsheet that you built, and the grader is going to need to be replaced, and you're looking at over $400,000 just for a replacement for that as well. Other than them three pieces of equipment, everything's been changed out, and then the Dodge will have to be looked at some point.
Okay, so keep Jason's trade, and then Donnie's is the trade in, would be the trade in towards this one.
I think we would get our optimum value and trade in value out of Donnie's.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Jeff, would it be worth just to, or can you see what it would really, what we could get for that used truck? I mean, keeping it around and being expected to use it means that you're going to have to maintain it to a certain degree still. And, it probably would have to be stored outside, right? I don't know if you got enough. We already don't have enough base
We have 3 days, so we don't have enough for this.
Yeah. Well, I guess I would just kind of like to know. It probably isn't going to be. Go ahead.
We got $2,000 for truck number 3 when we traded that in.
Oh.
That was a 2005. Jason's is a 2004. And Donnie's is a 2012.
Okay. Well, that gives us an idea what we might get. $2,000, and I agree. That's not. It might be better, like, just to keep it that way. But, okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Do folks, Will, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering about the grader. I know we discussed last year. I think, Jeff, you looked at leasing options and that was kind of a wash. But realizing that you got the loader rebuilt and quite refurbished at a reasonable price, is that something that could be looked at for the grader, or are there features that you would want that this one doesn't have, no matter what you do? I mean, is it possible to have it refurbished?
I'm going to say yes on the refurbished part, but the concern with it isn't really exterior paint, stuff like that. It's drive lines, transmissions, motor, big ticket items like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can research it and find out what it would cost. I know about 3 or 4 years ago, we rebuilt the transmission. We put in like $60,000 into that project.
Yeah. And is the transmission starting to go again? Are there mechanical issues that are wrong with it now, or?
No, just minor stuff like door latches and wheel speed sensor, nothing big. But it's when we did the transmission, John Deere service techs, let us know that, you're looking, anywhere. I can't remember off. I wasn't the superintendent at the time. I want to say they told Michael it was like a 3 to 6 year span, I believe. Mm-hmm. When they rebuilt the transmission.
Well, anyway, just some things to think about.
Yeah, and as far as leasing, we'd have to come up with at least like $100,000 for a year of leasing.
Yeah, yeah, it looked to me, I mean, it looked like it was kind of a wash between buying and having a note on it, so.
Alice, you have your hand up.
Just a couple things. I know, Jeff, you were talking about trade-in. Has the town, mm-hmm. What is the town's policy and practice as far as doing things on like municipal and the town and like fire district and fire equipment as far as like Matt, there's like entities that sell and trade that? So is that something that's been used in the past versus trading it in?
We've used GovDeals before. Yeah. And the old was it the Chevy Kodiak that we had? Some person from Canada bought it. Yeah. Yeah, we've used them before.
And did you get a better price, would you say, than by trading it in?
We did actually. I think that specific truck went for $10,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know with some, I'm sorry, with some of them, they're going, 10 to 15 grand, depending on which would be a heck of a lot more towards, granted in the grand scheme of 280,000, it's kind of a drop in the bucket, but two versus whatever is the difference of, say, your plow, for instance, so just a thought.
Yep.
And maybe that's the way to field the funding for the plow, per se. My other question is who do you typically use, like ZWAC or some, you know, like service technicians that are accredited, like John Deere accredited, whatever you need to do, like certified, excuse me, not accredited, when you do your repairs and stuff, or are there other people that you use locally?
On our bigger equipment, such as like the loader or grader, you know, backhoe, we usually use the dealership. If it's something small, we shop local. Like we many a times have went down to Matt Clark's for simple little things that we couldn't do, but we knew he could.
Yeah.
Yeah, we shop around. A lot of business goes to Rose Ledge Trucking down in Irving.
I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that there is a certified mechanic in Coleraine who has a shop.
Mm-hmm. I know who you're talking about.
I believe he's looking.
Go ahead, Simon. Last time I knew he was a man.
I believe, my understanding is he's looking at opening his own shop.
Yeah.
So that might be food for thought, as I'm sure he's familiar with the equipment, shall we say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, unless I'm not sure your dealings with him in the past, so.
No, I've never dealt with him. I know who he is, but I've never dealt with him. But I know he's super smart and very talented.
I would agree with that 100%. That's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thanks, Alice. Other folks, questions for Jeff? Sue?
Yeah,
hold on. Sue, then Tom.
Jeff said that he had left all of his other numbers in the budget the same as last year. But then he also mentioned inflation. So I just wanted to double check and see if he feels, I would think that things like gas and oil would be a place where we might experience some inflational pressure. So I'm just wondering if you're comfortable with the numbers that you have in there, considering that.
I don't know. I can't answer that. I just know like our maintenance account, you know, a simple little plow piece has jumped up 300%. You know, you used to get a moldboard just for the plow and it was $1,500. Now it's upwards of 4,000, you know? So it's whatever the market is, market value. And, it's a very good question. I didn't think about it. Of course, this new thing going on with the Ukraine, who knows what that's going to do.
Are you feeling like you currently have a sufficient budget to see you through the end of the year?
Yes.
Okay.
I might, was it garage maintenance? The way the electric bills are coming in, because it's so cold, we have to leave everything plugged in. Everything outside needs to be plugged in. So it's drawing quite a bit of electricity. I think I'm down to like 4,000 in that account. So there might be a need to transfer into that at some point, whenever our legal transfer period ends or starts. I think it's March.
Did you have Marsu?
Nope.
Tom.
So, Jeff, I was just wondering, on the grader, are you using it now, or is it something that, and I wasn't quite clear when you're talking about having a transmission change. I think that you're talking about the loader, or maybe it was the grader. I was a little bit confused on that.
No, I was talking about the grader about 4 years ago. Okay. The transmission went into for a rebuild. The motor had a repurpose this year, and then the grader had a transmission rebuild about 4 years ago. And as far as using the grader, last year I only used it in the wintertime to shelf our big snow banks. This year, I didn't put any plow equipment on it. It's sitting in the yard, plugged in, keeping the everything charged, and trying not to use it.
Okay. But you could use it if you had to, like in a big snowstorm or something, or not?
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to get some giant thing, yeah, I can set it up and I could use it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Jeff, how are you feeling about sand and salt? How are things going?
Ugh. Well, with my new order of salt, and I got another 200 tons of sand coming tomorrow, I think with these orders coming in, it should be about $16,000. I ran the numbers, excuse me, money-wise, we're almost right down the middle, with the exception, I've been running regular rock salt lately.
Yeah.
I ordered in some treated this time, which is quick. But before this order, we were $4,000 difference between sand and salt. And I was at 571 tons of salt, and the sand number was, I think, up like 1,100 tons. We've gone through a lot, too much ice.
A lot of ice, yeah. On the vehicle, on the gas and oil, that was just kind of touched on a little bit. It looks like we're right, you know, almost just a little over 50. Well, we're 50%, a little under remaining.
Well, I had 3,000 gallons carryover from last fiscal year.
Okay. All right. That's right.
I was locked in at that nice low price. So.
Yep. Okay, that's right. Okay. All right, other questions? Sorry, my head was down. Other folks? Brian, anything from you?
No, I would I guess I agree with Sue that we need to consider inflation in this too.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely are gonna have a higher markup on the wages too this year, I think.
Helma and then Alice after that.
Let Alice go first.
Okay. Alice, you got the floor.
Jeff, have you noticed in the last year a difference? I know you were talking about electric bills and I have a similar situation. Have you noticed an increase? To me, the flux has happened between last year and this year significantly in the electric costs. Would you say the same for Heath?
I think we've used quite a bit more electricity, or the cost is more this year.
I think I'm up about $150 a building on stuff.
Yeah,
from what was like $650 is now coming in at eight something.
I mean, and then we got for instance, our attendant shed, transfer station attendant shed, it's electric heat. So you're getting a $300+ bill for a month period when it's, you know, 1 to 8 days just to heat it. It's expensive.
Was that the only option to use at that point when it was built?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't part of that project.
That seems steep for like, 2 days, 2 days a week, 4 weeks a month.
Yeah.
It sounds extremely steep. I guess I would think that should be something we might investigate as a, what our other options might be.
Yeah. I also have to add that I forgot, now that I started talking about it, that OSHA requirements and all that, there needs to be fall prevention in front of our steel dumpster. So you need to put I have to put a railing up.
Well, you can't fix stupid, so.
Yeah. And we can't use bee spray. It's against the law. You have to hire a special licensed person to come in and kill bees if you have bees.
We have bees?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh.
Not right now.
That's what I was thinking.
Did you have more, Alice?
I know Brian and Sue were talking about overall increase of your budget based on, you know, cost of whatever's happening nationwide, worldwide. Do you think that you have enough between, you know, obviously we know gas and oil could be more. We know that some heating things and or we know electricity is currently. Do you have other maintenance stuff that you've already done where you might have a cushion in that area that would offset unknowns in the other?
I think right now I'm caught up on all my maintenance stuff. So I'm hoping, you know, that account will hold tight. But you know, any little thing breaks or busts, then, you know.
Right.
Let me pull up real quick, because that line item, that was part of that new consolidated account.
Yeah, right. And that was part of why I was, you know, optimistic that maybe if you had a cushion, because I tend to run a cushion in one side or another if I know I'm going to, you know, if I can tweak and take some off in one area, I always make sure I have a little bit of a cushion in the other area. But
right.
with the merging of accounts, that like I have less accounts in other areas, but you know, for you, it might be.
Yeah. So according to my records, I don't have Dave's expense report or anything, but I have a almost $32,000 buffer right now in that new line.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions? Hilma.
Okay. Jeff, did you want to bring up about the overage, potential overage on the bridge project?
Yep, I'm glad. I knew I forgot something. I couldn't think of it. This is why I need to write stuff down. Mm-hmm. So me and Helma had a meeting with VHB and their representatives about our superstructure replacement on Jacksonville Stage /8A over just before West Branch. Now, just like everything, you know, we just discussed it, inflation, material costs, what is it, 7-9% increase and everything. So they're estimating, based on today's numbers, that even with the $500,000 grant, the expenses are estimated to go over about $110,000. And for the bridge grant, that's estimated to go over, the culvert grant for permitting and all that, that's estimated to go over $18,000.
What's the culvert grant?
It's design and permitting for a Massachusetts stream crossing standard, kind of like what Scott Sullivan did down by Hillman's on Adamsville Road. So it's a three-sided box culvert instead of our 36-inch pipe. Because right now there's so much aquatic wildlife, you know, beavers, or any heavy rainfall, if them dams go, the culvert's not going to drink it, and you're not going to have a road there. It's just going to be wiped out. So
Jeff,
this is just the
where's the culvert you're talking about for Heath?
Just before Ingram Drive. So if you're heading down South Road, Burrington, You get just before Ingram Drive there, before Art's house. We call it Triangle Piece, where Whitmore Springs is, the Triangle Piece, and you'll see the beaver activity on the right-hand side.
Yeah, I saw some activity over there just the other day.
They were core samples.
I see, yeah. So that the culvert grant you said was 18,000?
Estimated to go 18,000 over, yes.
Over
$100,000 grant.
So we got a grant for 100,000, but we need 18,000 more.
Well, yeah, that's for the permitting, and then we're going to reapply for construction. And I bring that up, excuse me, I bring it up just because we get such a small amount of Chapter 90, it's roughly 208,000. I didn't know, I'm asking you what you would like to do instead of, you know, I'd rather not borrow to pay for something like that. Yeah, I know we have some money in free cash, but that should be distributed elsewhere and other things like vehicle stabilization, maybe, or something like that. So I'm presenting it to you and just get an idea of what you would like, you know, how you would like to move forward with it. Would you want me to maybe apply Chapter 90 money to such projects, or save that and keep plugging away at the Burrington Hill South Road roadway to try to get that finished up? And
well,
go ahead, Tom.
Well, I was going to say, we typically, we always use paving for that fund from the state there that you're just
after.
I know. Typically we do, but it's for everything. You could buy equipment with it if you
want. Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. I understand that. So, and I'm thinking that's probably a good idea to use that money for these two projects in particular, because it would mean no paving probably. But I think, you know, conditions as they are, that I think that's a good place for that money now, given the size and the overages that we've got to try to take care of.
So we've got, Will had his hand up, Ned had his hand up, and then Brian. Will?
Just a simple question. Maybe I'm not understanding something here, but on these projects, are these quoted costs that are resulting in overages, or how do the overages occur? And if they are quoted costs, is it possible we could get them re-quoted?
They're not quoted. They're estimating based on what inflation and the market's doing right now. I mean, this is right now we're in design and permitting phase on both of them. The bridge one actually, I think is going out for construction bidding here. I think Ad put in the Greenfield Recorder, I believe.
So it
would be the construction part of it, Will, which we have no idea because it hasn't been bid out yet.
Right, but is it possible that when you bid it out, you might make up for that overage? It might reduce that.
That is a possibility, yes. And we discussed with the our engineering firm, you know, if the cost is too much, we don't have to accept any bid.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Helma, did you want to add something to that question?
Well,
before, and then we'll go to Ned.
Jeff answered most of it. I mean, but yeah, it hasn't gone out to bid yet. It's just kind of like based on the cost of materials and you know, history of this type of work, that's the ballpark estimate. And excuse me, but, you know, the engineers did say that it, even if bids come in a little under, there's no way that they could see that the work would, quality work would be done for the amount of the grant, that due to, you know, the gross inflation of materials these days, it's going to be over.
Thank you, Homa.
Ned, and then Brian.
So when I first learned of that large grant, which is being called the Bridge Grant, I think, I don't think I heard bridge in the description. I think it was something like 500,000 for 8A. Obviously the bridge is a major issue and that deserves the attention it's getting. But I'm asking really in the beginning, was there a thought that there was other work on 8A that might need funding?
Well, Ned, yes. And we actually were approved for a STRAP grant for, I don't remember the number, it was 700 and something thousand dollars.
And those are two different grants.
Yeah.
But that's, he's asking about, you know, the 8A thing, so.
Yeah.
That's eight, any other 8A. So.
Yeah. Thelma, you want to follow up a little? Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Ned, the 500,000 bridge grant that is estimated to go approximately 110,000 over that we're discussing is only to replace the one particular bridge. It can't, basically the money cannot be used for anything except replacing that bridge per state requirements. But then last fall, we received, like Jeff said, STRAP grant over $700,000 that is to do other maintenance work on the entire length of Route 8A.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. Brian.
I was thinking that we're not the only ones that are probably experiencing these cost escalations in these kinds of road projects. And I wondered if before we start appropriating money, we should go back to the state and say, you must realize what's happening to the market. And if there's any relief, you know, any discussion of relief to the towns for the escalation in the cost of these projects. Because if you get a grant for $500,000 and you have to dig up another 110, that's only a little bit of help when you're like Jeff was saying, you only have 208,000 in chapter 90. So I think we should, you know, we should go back to the state and ask them what their plans are for covering these escalating costs, if they have any.
I agree, Brian. I think that that's a good idea. I think that that's well worth reaching out for. Alice, another hand. Is that a new hand? Yeah.
I believe the maximum you can get on the small bridge grants are 500,000. I could be wrong. That's probably, that's my understanding about it anyway. So to reach out and say, well, it's now 600. I think we've had in Coleraine and in Leiden, they've had other ones where it's ran over. And the expectation is that you, you know, this is what you've got, which is better than what you had, and you need to kind of find the difference. Now, the STRAP grant for 7.25, is that something that's going to be looked at towards the bridge by Mary Howes for utilizing that, repairing that? No. Okay.
Oh. Yeah. And you want me to elaborate, Robin?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because, you know, when you apply for a grant, you have to stipulate what you want to use the money on, give right. Estimate ballpark, at least ballpark estimates of the different parts of the project. So it's like the award was given to do the work that was named in the application. And Bridges, I believe Bridges are separate than Strap Grant.
Yeah.
It is scheduled, that bridge is scheduled for replacement in 2025.
And what's the time frame on the bridge by the one before West Branch that they're with the next year, I would say?
The one we're talking about?
Yeah, the one on by Griswold's.
Hopefully this summer, if we can come up with the extra money. The company would like to go out to bid like soon. March or whatever.
Maybe we should do one lane, you know.
Half a bridge.
With a blinking light. We can get a blinking light. I know that was a discussion. I know time frame is kind of critical on that one because it's a big discussion about for the bus routes and stuff. Is that part of why we're trying to do it on a summer
time frame?
And who's your engineer you guys are dealing with on that?
VHB is the firm.
Okay.
Good, Alice, for now?
I think so, yeah. Let me lower my hand, sorry.
That's okay. other hands, there's no hands. Anybody else for Jeff? Jeff, anything else that you have for us? Any questions, anything else?
I said it's on a little different route, a little different avenue, but I think we should, as a group, come up with some sort of plan for like a material pit location. Because right now we're using Tommy's land. It's his land. And eventually, you know, Tommy's not going to live forever, and I don't think Helen wants it. So eventually it'll get sold. And right now he's letting us use it. And I believe Todd Geary has the right of way to where we actually enter into the pit. So we should have a good discussion on possible locations for, you know, our own.
Okay. All right. Other budget questions? Brian?
Before Jeff leaves, I wondered if he had anything to say about the salt shed, because that's on our agenda too for later.
Yeah. my idea is to do, you know, right now it's not sound, but standing. But in terms of maybe a replacement idea, I think we should go with like a state type building to where we, you know, demolish, do a demo on what we have, tear everything up, grade everything out, clear some trees, pour some floor, put a, you know, whatever concrete foundation wall, and put a Quonset style fabric hut up.
Yep.
60 feet wide, 80 feet long. Make sure it's at least, you know, it's going to be like 60 feet high so trucks can actually dump, but I think that'll be the cheapest way to go. You know, timber prices, I don't, you know, they came down, but it'd be astronomical.
Yeah. All right. I just wanted you to have a chance to weigh in on that before we talk about it.
Yeah, and I think with the Quonset style, you know, nothing's going to stay on there. It's going to hit whatever and just slide right off. So, you know, there shouldn't be, you know, weight bearing as far as your supports, which is just going to be, you know, a steel type structure. I think that's fine. The only question is, you know, the wind, whatever formula they have for that. But
okay.
Alice? Jeff, well, I know you guys are highway department workers. I haven't read your job description to actually know what other parameters of things you guys do. Is that something that you guys would be able to help and assist with to offset the costs, or is this something that you're projecting that we need to budget and cost for?
We would love to see a Cat 315 excavator there, because a building wouldn't stand a chance.
But as far as like clearing and timbering that, pushing it back and pouring concrete, is that something you guys are speculating doing some of it or all of it or none of it yourself?
As far as concrete work is, I think we're done with that. That's not much. But as far as removing trees, you know, grading stuff out, I think that's something we could do. I don't see that as a issue unless we hit ledge, and then we'd have to either get jackhammers or someone in to just blow it up with some dynamite. Controlled the, you know.
The problem I see is the scheduling. I don't necessarily think that the new salt shed could go in the same place as the old salt shed, because you're going to need it to keep the salt out of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
It's all stuff that has to be looked at. It's such a tiny piece of property too. That...
Right. Yeah. The property lines, you know, right there, it's only an acre lot or 1.1 acre thing there.
So there'll be more discussion of this in the future, I'm sure.
Yep. Alice, did you have more? Okay. All right, folks, if nobody has anything else, we can say thank you to Jeff. Appreciate it. I'm sure there'll be more questions. We'll be reaching back out, more talk back and forth.
Yep.
And I think we have
Jeff.
Nick. Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, anytime. I'd like to stay and talk, but I got to go put kids to bed.
All righty.
Thank
have
you.
A good night. Bye.
You too. Thank you.
Yeah. We have 7 o'clock is Nick. Is Nick here?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
John.
Yeah, Nick is in the building. I can go and see what he's up to.
You can? That would be great.
Yeah. All right. I'll be back.
Thank you. I assume he's coming. Maybe he's coming. So I assume FinCom, you guys are going to talk a little bit too at your meeting next week about highway and the budget.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely.
Okie dokie.
Sure, they'd be logged in under me. just to unmute. There's a mouse.
Elsewhere.
Right?
You are
unmuted. All right, perfect.
We can hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Chief Nick.
Hey, Robin, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, we're interviewing a firefighter in the other room, so.
Oh, well, we'll.
Lots of rooms here. It's all good. It's all good okay. stuff.
Okay.
Do you want to go over your budget real quick? I'm taking a peek at it.
Yeah, let's see. Pretty much, I was planning on level funding is what I'm looking at here. The only issue I might have is I'm looking at some newer software of mm-hmm. our fire reporting stuff. So that would be like $2,000 more than what I got right now, budgeted in. The thing is, it's actually all the software is going to be going up here. So what we're trying to do is, find the best deal, obviously, and some of the newer stuff they can tie into the state police CAD system, so that when they're dispatching, when they send out the information, it'll go into the system and pre-populate the reports. That'll help me get my stuff done. Also, they will assist with us getting our reports into the fire marshal's office at the end of the year. There's a bunch of towns in the area switching to it. Roe, Charlemont, Coleraine, because I know a guy in Coleraine. So we're looking at, trying to do the package deal for both towns. It's a new company they've been around for 8 years, but pretty aggressive in marketing and trying to get stuff out to the smaller towns. But anyway, in terms of what I've got in and running everything, the budget numbers seem to be okay. I mean, I seem to be doing all right as long as the repairs don't get too crazy. Everything seems to be working.
Okay.
I think at some point when they get off that, we get off that current radio system and we switch 100% over to the new system, I think that cog charge is probably going to disappear at some point. Once they phase out that radio system, it'll be a while. It's not going to be overnight, but at some point they're going to kind of wind that down a little bit. The new system is state owned, state supported. So hopefully that'll work out better in the long run.
Okay. Want me to ask? Are you set? You want me to open it for questions?
Sure.
All right. Anyone, folks? Don't everybody raise your hand at once.
Yeah. I'm just looking for the actual numbers. I got them here somewhere. But,
Sue, go ahead.
Well, I guess I would ask him the same question that we just asked Jeff, if whether or not he feels with the unknowns of inflation, whether his current budget is going to be able to cover those changes, like gas and.
Yeah, this business is kind of a crapshoot. I mean, I know how many calls we've run usually, all these towns, we sit down, we kind of figure, what's cost the previous years. And all it takes is one or two big calls and it'll hammer things, or a major repair will hammer things. So I'm always operating on a kind of a tight margin anyway. So, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, yeah, you're seeing prices going up. I don't know if you're figuring on some kind of a fixed number across the board on expenses like that, just to think about, or I can't say off the top of my head. It's not like,
I know there's always unexpected things, but as far as gas and oil and those kind of things that you have to have to run the trucks,
right?
Whether you feel as comfortable as you can at this point with what you have budgeted.
Yeah, that's a good term. As comfortable as I can, I would say probably yes.
That's it.
Generally, unless we have a major mechanical, I'm really not looking at any capital expenses this year. As long as the vehicles hold up, that's the only issue there, But the two big apparatus, actually, in the rescue are all in pretty good shape. So the major pieces of equipment are in really good shape, good mechanical, good overall shape. So that's not a problem. The chief's car is getting a little beat. So that would be the only wild card out there, and unexpected expense.
Brian, did you have a question that you were going to ask? And then I see Alice has her hand up.
If we had in the budget money to replace the Greenfield names on the new turnout gear, right now they say Greenfield.
Oh yeah. Well, we have special devices that will get rid of the Greenfield stuff. actually, we just got a grant for 3 sets of gear, so we got a grant. So we're putting that together. Going to work with Hilma on that to get that all through. So 3 sets is big. The budget can really absorb, a set every now and then. I think this upcoming year we'll start trying to hit some bigger grants, try to make a push on that. Some of the AFG grants and a few other things out there. I think that's going to help this town immensely if we can secure some of those larger ones. Our air pack's pretty good. Turnout gear has always been kind of an issue. I mean, it wears out. It either expires or wears out. It's not like I wouldn't call it a durable good. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Greenfield was supposed to be spares. It wasn't supposed to be frontline gear. So putting that to way harder use than they intended us to do with it. So
yeah, I know because of the washing situation, it's desirable to have a spare set of gear for the firefighters.
Correct. That's where that Greenfield gear really comes in handy. You go on any, if you got to wash it, it's like almost a day to take it down, get it washed, get it back. And then it's almost another day to dry it, give or take. So, So some kind of a spare set is helpful.
Alice?
Nick, I was looking at the quote for the Station Smarts that little Kevin sent me, and I know you talked about like lumping them. That's kind of one of the things that I've done working for both towns, is be able to ask if they would reduce the cost on it. I'm assuming it's a per town thing no matter what, because it doesn't look like there's a setup fee. Is that correct from what I'm looking at? It's just
they're going to waive the setup fees. Actually, what they're doing in Coleraine is they're setting them up right now as we speak. If they're looking at starting July 1st, but it'll be operational by July 1st. It's actually $3,000 for the software, and then it's $800 for the link to the CAD dispatch system. So, you can go without that, but that's what makes it really kind of sweet when it links right to the dispatch. It's not the end of the world for us, to be honest with you. I mean, we don't have a huge volume of calls. If we had a huge volume of calls, then it wouldn't even be something that, really be an issue, because you need it to make it work. But for what we're doing, I'm having conversations with them whether I want to, try it without the CAD system and just try their software and their support and see how that works. So that would knock it down at $3,000. And then if it works out, later in the future to add the CAD, I don't think it's a big deal for them to add the modules, But I think they're offering rock bottom prices in the area, like I say, an extra support and things. So our current software is about just under 1800. It's a little less capacity and a little less support. You pay more to get additional support and other features. It's not a bad software. It's not common around here in the Northeast. In fact, I don't know anyone else who's using it. It's okay. It works. If money's tight and everything, that's understandable. Just at some point, it'd be nice to upgrade it.
Well, I guess I present the fact of working for two communities I work for three, but you working for two, it's handy to have the same synonymous product in both. It makes it a smooth transition and ultimately saves time, in the day-to-day operations, particularly because when you guys are coming back and have to do reports, you know, now currently you're waiting, you're trying to figure out your time frames, who was where, what was in, you know, it, I don't, to me, continuity goes a long way. And so I guess that's just my thoughts on it from the difference of $2,000 a year is.
Well, the continuity is nice. And also they actually, they will submit, they will make the submittals. You just provide them the information and they will do the submittals to the state, and they will make sure, you know, it's kind of like having a, you know, third party accountant doing your stuff, or you doing it yourself. So is it worth the cost? You know, and obviously it is. So.
And currently you're the one that's doing the, all the runs and reports for.
Right now I'm the only one working on that system. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't been able to con anyone else in to help me. So they sit down, they look at it and they say, no. As soon as the first couple of windows pop open, they're like, no, I don't want to do this. So not that hard, but it it's, takes a lot of concentration to get through it. Especially if you get, you know, if you get a, any kind of complicated call, it, it's, a structure fire we had in Coleraine, that was, you know, that was easy half a day, 4 or 5 hours messing around on it to get, just get that entry in. So.
Now with this new program, what would your estimated time frame be for that same call?
Well, it'd be all populated. So instead of basically what you do now is you pick up a paper fax and you got to go through the paper fax and try to figure out all the times and who was where and what. So every single truck that shows up has its own timestamp and when it arrived and when it left and when it went back. Then you've got to figure, you know, all of those factors, then put them into the report. This will do it. This will, so basically when you, you start working through the, you start working through this, it takes everything in that fax, it populates it all. So you might have, it'll, the address is in there, the owner's in there, the phone number's in there, every piece of equipment that responded is in there already. So it just, it really saves you, you know, a lot of data entry stuff.
And a lot of weekends, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, weekends, you know, you can, your time could be, you got to spend the time. It just depends whether you want to sit at, you know, putting in data entry or working right on trucks or, you know, whatever, doing something. You know, it's all time management, really.
Okay. Thanks.
There's also the accuracy thing too. When you, right, when you get one of these big reports, it's, there's a lot of data to sift through, you know. The same thing when I think when I was first year I was here, we had that fire on Long Hill Road, and that was, you know, that's generates tons of, it just generates a lot of paperwork.
Brian?
Yeah, I wondered, I thought you don't have that in your budget now, right?
I don't. No.
Yes, yes, you do.
Oh, I do. It's wait, let me talk to my budget consultant. We discussed it. We had a discussion on it, and we were looking. Originally, it was going to go legal funded. This would be the only thing I would kick in here.
I added it in there, Nick.
Okay. Thank you.
I thought you had.
Go ahead, Tom.
I guess I'm a little bit confused on the software because. I thought that the new software, I thought he said something about $3,000. No?
New software would be 38, but there's a difference between, we're currently paying 18. So the only difference would be a $2,000 difference.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Kemal, where is it? Is it here somewhere?
Yeah, it's there. Well, okay. For us, it's there.
Nick, I added $2,000 to fire department maintenance and utilities, that sub account.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It was at 7. I bumped it up to 9.
Oh, yeah. See, the copy I got won't let me open that up. Okay.
Okay.
I believe you. It's just not in there, not showing up.
Other questions for Nick? Nick, anything else for us? Anything you need from us?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
I think, no, not right at this minute.
All right. If that's the case, you can go back to the interview. We can say thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thanks,
Nick. Thank you, Nick.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
Okay, we've got, hold on, a couple minutes here before we can go on to Chief John. So we have a couple minutes to fill. We can hop into one of the other business items to keep moving along. So we've done the STM possibility. We're gonna do a follow-up after you FinCom members meet next week to further discuss that. Corrine Heath capital expense agreement. Helma, you wanna, is there an update? What are we doing on that? Is that just an update, general update?
I guess general update is that, let's see, last Wednesday, Brian and Sue from Heath and met with, Coleraine Select Board members, Mike Slewinski and Joe Kurland, and their town administrator, Kevin Fox. And anyway, the four Select Board members discussed like an equivalent agreement for sharing capital costs, like I outlined to you folks last Tuesday. It parallels what Ashfield Plainfield are doing now and what Buckland and Shelburne are doing now. Both select boards of the members present agreed that it seemed like a very fair and equitable approach. So I, composed a letter addressed to the Mohawk School Committee. This evening, it is in the hands of the Coleraine Select Board so that they can sign the letter. It's a joint letter from both select boards to the school committee outlining what was agreed upon. And so the Coleraine Select Board are signing it this evening, and it will come over to Heath, and then you folks will sign it, and then I will send it into the school committee. What I understand of the process is the school committee approves it or not. Hopefully they will approve it, and then it gets passed on to their legal counsel so it can be written up in fancy legal language that will then appear, be sent to all the towns in the district to appear as warrant articles on their annual town meeting warrants for the spring.
Thanks, Emma.
Mm-hmm.
Folks have questions on that?
Hi, Robin.
Wait a minute. Whoa. What was that?
It's Barbara Rowe.
Am I unmuted? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. What's up, Barbara?
Hi. Just wanted to thank everyone for doing that. And I can assure you that I will recommend that the school committee approves that. And it was also Budge's idea, so I can predict that he would also support that. And we'll keep you posted.
Thanks, Barbara. And Bob, did you raise your hand?
Bob, I did. And it,
okay.
I just wanted to say thanks for working on that so quickly. And, you know, it's one more thing that everybody can kind of clear off their plate and keep moving forward. So thank you for, and thank Coleraine as well. It was nice that you could get together and hash it out. And I thought, you know, they did a really nice job and you guys did a nice job. So thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Brian, Sue, anything you wanted to add on that piece?
No, I think Hilma explained it pretty well.
Brian, anything?
I didn't know if we should recap what that agreement was, that basically, or if Hilma would, just because I'm sure that some people here don't know what it was.
I will try to recap it. Basically, it's that each each town will be responsible for a percentage of like a capital expense that's equivalent to the student population, like pre-K through sixth grade, that are in attendance at the Colerain Central School. From the fifth year on, it will be based on a five-year average enrollment. For the first 4 years, it will be based on the average of however many years students have been attending there until it builds up to the fifth year, and then it will go by the five most recent years and the average of the attendance from enrolled from each of the towns, Heath and Colerain.
Thanks, Helma. Bob, did you have another question or want to make another statement? Okay.
No, it's called a rolling five-year average. That's the technical term. I forgot to put my hand down. I'm putting it down now, though.
Okay. I didn't know if it was still up from before or not. Okay. Thanks, Bob. Okay. Anybody else with questions? Great. Let's see. Review of budget request. We're working on that. And then the other piece that Helma wanted us to weigh in on tonight was so that she could schedule appropriately what other departments we would like to have budget hearings with. So I don't know if anybody has some thoughts they'd like to share now that we can come.
Do we already have broadband scheduled in? Should we?
It's on my list. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Tom, was that going to be yours, or did you have another one?
Yeah.
Your budget isn't that big. They're going after the big pieces of the budget. You know, they're not going to
hassle. We can hear you, Gruen.
Okay, so broadband?
Broadband.
Are we going to meet with someone from the Mohawk district? Is that on our agenda somewhere for the budget?
Oh, like the overall school budget?
Yeah. I don't know if that's something you usually do or not, but.
Sometimes, like.
Our school
committee representatives will come in. Do you want them to?
Is that what you're asking? Yes.
Is that an intro? So
I think we'll get a note. You'll get a note.
We're having a public hearing on the budget on Wednesday, February 16th in the auditorium at 6:30 p.m. If you're not aware, that's what date and time the public hearing is. We haven't voted on the budget yet.
Okay. Thanks, Barbara.
Barbara, do you know when that's going to happen? Do you have any sense of when the budget might be ready?
Tomorrow, Wednesday, February 9th, there is a budget subcommittee meeting before our school committee meeting. I think the subcom is at 5 p.m. and the regular meeting is at 6:30. And if anyone wants to catch up, budget subcommittee meetings are also, the recordings can be found on the website if you want to catch up on all of the fun discussion that's been going on. Those are available on the website if you want to email me at brode@mtrsd.org. Sorry, I can get you the link to the recordings, but it's ongoing and not voted yet.
No, I just wondered, there's probably no reason to schedule the school committee in for a budget hearing of any kind if you haven't, if
have no budget.
The school hasn't finished setting the budget yet. So I just was wondering what kind of timeline we might consider.
Yeah, I would have nothing to report. So that's a good call. At this point, as soon as we have something, we can share it. So I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, Sue, but it's been back and forth and up in the air, and everything moved a week forward. So I'm still working on the packet for tomorrow. So I definitely don't have a report of where we are yet.
Yep. So, okay. Basically, we don't know yet.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thanks, Barbara.
Thank you.
Other departments people would like to meet with? If you come up with some, send it to Hilma so she can schedule accordingly, please. Sooner than later. So Chief John, you're up next. Hi.
Let's see.
All right, welcome. Would you like to give us a rundown on your budget, John? I think you're frozen. Is he frozen? Oh, there he is.
Are you froze? I'm here.
Okay. I froze? Sorry.
Everybody did, yeah. For a second.
Okay.
Expenses, either combined or separated, remain the same for this year. Salary, I'm looking for a $2,000 increase. In the bottom of the budget that was submitted, I've explained a little bit. In 2020, the Commonwealth of Mass voted in a police reform law, which essentially took away every part-time trained police officer in the state. They want everybody to get more training and be certified as full-time officers. We currently have one in the academy, what they call the Bridge Academy, which some towns are estimating $6,000 to $8,000 per officer. We are trying to do that this year with the first one under the current budget. We should be able to do it. We did get a FERCOG grant for, I believe it was just over $2,100, which helps some. The problem with this is, without asking for anything else at this time, it's cutting into part-time patrol shifts. So I'm asking for the $2,000 increase under the next budget, because I'm scheduled to go after July sometime. And that'll help offset it. It's unknown if there's going to be another FERCOG grant, which came from the state, but they were seeking funding, additional funding, you know, for the future years. One good thing, I still work in Charlemont. I still work in Charlemont, so there's a bunch of the online stuff. If there's no calls, I can do some of the online stuff down there, because I still work down there. It's not really an issue, but that would help offset some of the hours for the training as well. Beside the Bridge Academy training, there is 40 hours per officer regular in service that's done every year. With the 40 hours plus this Bridge Academy, it's like almost $7,900 a year in just for training for one officer plus the regular in service.
Okay.
If we do get the funding, we could put more officers out, you know, another officer out, more hours, a little bit. It could be coverage while I'm doing the academy as well.
All right. Thanks, John.
Sure.
Questions for John, Tom, and then Brian?
I was just wondering what the condition of your vehicle is, John. We've been talking a lot about vehicles tonight.
The town has a 2015 Ford Explorer. It has low mileage, 33,000, just over 33,000. It's in pretty good shape. Mechanically, it's in good shape. It is going down for brakes tomorrow. The body is in good shape. I've had it undercoated before, and I plan to do it again in the spring. I'd rather not the body fall off the thing before the engine gives out. My plans are to keep it as long as possible. It's in pretty good shape. I would like to paint it at some point, you know, freshen it up. It does have a lot of scratches on it prior to me, might I add. Other than that, the vehicle is functioning very well. It's in really good shape. I don't anticipate anything with that.
Did we get that? No, we must have.
I believe you did. I believe it was under Margo Newton.
Yeah.
Brian?
Yeah, John, on the police reform, the training, is that something that's going to be a yearly expense or is that a one-shot deal?
The Bridge Academy is a one-time thing once you're trained, and then it'll just be the 40 hours of in-service on the yearly basis, which is, it's always been. But that Bridge Academy is a little over 200 hours for the Bridge Academy, additional, in addition to the, so it's like 240, 250 hours
yeah.
next year for me to be fully trained.
It seems like we should have a line item for that until that goes away. You know, not reduce the, you know, not reduce patrol and whatever else you do, you know, pistol permits and all that business that we have a police department to do, to spend on training. You know, I mean, it seems like we should add that until we get through this phase. I don't know if anybody else agrees with that, but.
I have one officer. We currently have, including myself, we have four. One officer is going through it now. He'll be done before the end of June. I'll be in the next fiscal year. And then one officer is going to be dropping down to auxiliary or traffic control. So he will be exempt from that. And then anybody else after that coming in the town should be fully trained. Because with the Bridge Academy, the police reform, the Bridge Academy, they broke it down to a 3-year period, and they are doing it by alphabet just so they know what they have for numbers coming. Like this fiscal year, it's like A through H, and then it'll be I through whatever. And then the last year will have the tail end of the alphabet. And we're all within the first 2 years. And we have one officer that actually is going through or will be going through next year, next fiscal year through Charlemont. That's where he primarily works.
John, do you anticipate any problems with keeping your department staffed because of these rulings? Are we going to need to be looking at?
You know, that's a good question. I just read an article that Gil is opening a conversation with the sheriff's office about maybe some patrols, and they're going to pay for that. Charlemont is dropping some people because they don't want to go through the Bridge Academy. It's a tough call. it's who knows. There are some older folks that, you know, don't want to get thrown around the floor mats at 50 plus years old. But the amount of training that they have to do, you know, for what they're getting paid and the amount of hours that they're working.
Yeah. And there's a maximum age on this, right?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
But the other thing too is, what was I just going to say? So to attend that Bridge Academy, I mean, you're donating, you're using time that's not with your job, time that's not with your family vacation, time that's, you know, not at home getting stuff done. So it's a commitment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a big one.
Alice.
One of the things you mentioned, John, is the someone that you have on staff that's going doesn't want to go through the academy, which, you know, once people get to a certain age, you're right, they don't want to, but they would be dropping to an auxiliary level and doing details and, did you say, traffic stops?
Position there they come up with as a traffic control officer. Greenfield has a policy on that, and it's basically a civilian that has been trained, and they have to hold a certain amount of credential. I mean, you know, first aid and things of that nature. But they are civilian employees.
So would that be running radar or just strictly when you're dealing with road details?
They are not doing police duties.
Okay.
Are we going to have to come up with a new job description? A new job?
Well, I have the Greenfield one, you know, if I go by that. And I believe the auxiliary could probably fall right under that and swap out auxiliary to traffic control because it's very similar. They could be used at parades. They could be used at the fair. But they're not law enforcement.
No guns, huh?
That's what they say.
Guns. Other questions? Select Board, Finance Committee, anybody? Nothing? Good? Sorry.
Yeah, I wondered if we should take those job descriptions and do them over in our format. If John marked them up and we just typed them up and put them in our list of job descriptions.
The auxiliary and traffic control?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that, yeah.
Okay.
Tom, were you gonna ask a question too?
No, I was gonna, but I see, but I got a note here already about it, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? John, anything else from you for us?
No.
All right, then. Hearing nothing else, then we can say thank you, John.
All righty.
Thanks, John.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Okay, folks. So there's our three hearings for tonight. A couple other items, not to keep everybody crazy late tonight, but a couple other business items. We have potential capital expenses on the list of other business, salt shed, which was already hinted at, and anything else that comes up. So these are items. Well, let me just ask, does anyone else have any ideas that they want listed here other than the salt shed? It says salt shed and other. The salt shed piece is one that the select board started talking about last week as part of the conversation about buildings in general and what's going to happen with buildings and upcoming costs. And we were going to, or I'm going to be reaching out to the, oh Lord, what's the name of the, what's the new name? Facilities? Is it facilities?
Building Facilities Committee.
Yes, the Building Facilities Committee, that I'm going to be reaching out actually this week to start talking to them and see if we can pull together information on the salt shed as a group. So that was one of my homework pieces that I'm still working on. I don't know if there's other items off the top of one's head that people would like to throw out for tonight. If not, that was just kind of a placeholder for people to keep thinking about these capital expenses that might be hopping up. So I'll just go to the select board and then go finance committee. So Brian?
Yeah, I was thinking that we should draw in the building facilities committee and, you know, give them tasks like, you know, the salt shed being probably number one. And, yeah, you know, how are we going to approach that in terms of, you know, you're going to have to do kind of a feasibility study about how you would site the building, you know, all the regulations that will come into play, like site drainage is the one that comes to mind for me that I don't know how we would handle on that property, but we have to figure that out. And, you know, the staging, how would we ensure that we were going to have a building in place? You know, if we demolish the one we have, can we get a new one up in time that we would be able to get salt in it out of the, mm-hmm. you know, out of the weather? And would we take the salt that we have? If we had to demolish it because we needed the space, would we take that to another town, you know, and say, you here's 10 yards or whatever, and just work something out with them later. So that's one issue that I think, you know, we have so many other things on our plate, we can't really do all of this background work.
And that's my plan, Brian, was to reach out to them like we talked about. So I'm going to make that contact and see if they'll get working on that.
Okay, and one other item is there are issues at Sawyer Hall that, you know, we need to resolve, like the accessibility issue of the ramp that's out of compliance and the fire escape to, you know, there's no route to a public way right now from any of the other exits in the building. So block grant program does have, because accessibility issue, we can get money from the block grant through the Franklin Regional Housing and Redevelopment Authority. You know, we talked to Brian McHugh about that a couple of years ago, I guess. And, you know, there are certain, anyway, we need to get that going or figure out how we're going to address that. And then there's, you know, the window part of the cap of the community hall, we have to figure out what to do with that too. So
other people have other ideas they want to throw out so we can get this list pulled together.
Following up on Brian's point of Sawyer Hall and the egress things, we're also dealing with heating issues in Sawyer Hall. That's been an ongoing, I mean, when you have to open the windows to get your room down 10 degrees so you can work, I mean, that's just craziness. Thankfully, it's not an issue, but now it's going the opposite in the first floor where they're running space heaters. I mean, that's just not ideal in any situation, particularly in an older building. So I think that needs the controls, whatever the needs to be addressed, or at least cost out to see what it's going to take, whether it's new mechanisms or whatever for adjusting the heating. I believe Glenn White's looked at it numerous times and replaced things, but something just is not quite right there.
Yeah.
I fully agree with that.
Yeah.
Tom?
I was just going to add on to what Alice was saying. I think we ought to at least have some discussion with Glenn, because he's worked on that stuff and have he could be a good, he should have a good feel for what's got to happen. So just another avenue of information.
Robin, does it make sense to have a meeting of projects that the facilities group sees that need to be funded by this budget? Is this looking at next, this is what they need to do for the following budget? I mean, I just don't want to be, we talked about having a strong deadline with getting things submitted. So I don't want to all of a sudden, here we are in the middle of or end of March, and we've got to throw numbers together willy-nilly. And I mean, I'd rather be proactive than reactive.
Well, I think we're talking about, and Brian can correct me if his thought was something different, but I think we're talking about items for the next year's budget, larger scale items.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I just want to throw out something that's been rattling around in my head, kind of to answer that question too, Alice, that you're just asking. I agree that we should involve the Building Facilities Committee because a lot of work's been done. A lot of work's been done by a number of committees. And we still have a lot of different groups that are involved in all of the buildings. We've put together a lot of reports. We have a lot of information. We have budget numbers for some items. Well, you know, they might be a little outdated, but at least we have a lot of information. And we have a lot of people that are willing to volunteer time. However, nobody has endless amount of time to volunteer. And I think that the number of items that we have to look at also connects to what we see as the use, and this is going into that building use conversation that the select board needs to start having. And of course, we need to bring in the finance committee for those conversations too at some point. The bigger picture of the long-term use of the buildings, we, the select board, decided to start talking about that in the next week, just to kind of start getting a framework for which we can continue those discussions. And I'm wondering if, something that we might think about looking at as an expense to come up to put in front of the voters is whether we're at a point that it makes sense to bring in a source, a company, an entity to actually help put together a larger package of a lot of these questions that we have and to look at different plans of use of all of the buildings and the cost associated with that. I'm wondering if getting assistance, professional assistance on that may be something that is worth us looking at. And it's been kind of rattling around. I think we've thrown it out a couple times in the past, but I think that's something I wanted to just put out in front of the group and not needed to have a full conversation about it now, but just to throw it out and maybe think about it. Maybe finance committee, you could talk about it next week at your meeting. And select board, maybe we can talk about it next week at our meeting about building use, whether that's something that might make sense to help us pull all this together, which obviously has an a cost to it, but would be one that we could ask, ask the voters if they're interested in taking part in. I think that using volunteers and ourselves to pull this together, like you said, Brian, it's a big undertaking. It asks for a lot of people's time, and maybe the building facilities committee can pull it together. But with us, I don't know. It may be too daunting when you're looking at the whole picture. So that's just one of my ideas too, just for everybody to think about. And like I said, we can put it on our agenda. It'll be part of our conversation next week for building use. Other items for this line item for tonight, capital expenses, anyone? All right, the broadband loan repayment schedule is the next one on here. Might that be a part of our conversation with the municipal light board also?
Yeah. I think that'd be good. That would be good.
Okay.
So I know Ned has pulled together quite a bit of information from the What's up, Mulaney? Lorraine?
Brianne.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that make sense, Ned? Or did you want to, do you have anything for tonight? Or does it make sense to hold until we do a budget hearing with Municipal Light?
I had to unmute.
That's okay.
It does make sense, I think, to hold, to discuss that in another meeting.
Okay, great. Bob or Sue, do you have your, yeah, okay. I'm sorry, the little hand just blends in perfectly with your wall.
Well, I didn't want to be the flapping bird again.
That's okay, flap away.
If you're trying to get people to work on pulling together information about the buildings, I think it would be really important to have the final report from the Building Facilities Committee on the website, which I don't think it is, at least I can't find it. It would give people a touchstone. They could go, they could read, they could see what ideas the committee came up with. There's no money attached to any of that. So, you know, I just think it's an important document to have available to the whole town. And if it's on there, I can't find it. So,
okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
I know.
Let's see. So broadband, we're going to table that till Municipal Light Board. And then excess land, Five Ledge Road. Is that Brian? Is that? Yeah. That's the historical? Yeah.
Yeah, the Historical Society has an interest in putting up a, and they have some money to put up a secure storage facility there. And it's a non-conforming lot. So you couldn't, couldn't put a house on there. It's not saleable as a building lot. And we've been talking about this for a couple of years about how would this be made available for such a purpose? And because the law for disposition of municipal property would come into play, and we would have to take any, either a lease of the land or sale of it to town meeting. So, I would think that working out some kind of lease the way we did with the old town building might be a possibility. But then again, it has to be open to anyone who would want to lease that piece for, I suppose we can put stipulations in, but we like that it would be a non-profit, at least a non-profit or something like that. And it would have to go through our town council to figure out how to structure it in order to move forward on that and prepare it for a town meeting vote.
Okay. I think... one second. I think that Sue's also brought up at a previous select board meeting the interest in having the Historical Society come in to kind of talk a little bit about this. Right? Correct? I didn't make that. Yeah. So maybe we should plan that as well. Even just a select board meeting. FinCom can join or not on that one. That's up to them. But, and sorry, Tom, I interrupted you, I think. Go ahead.
That's all right. That'll work.
Okay. I also think that as part of that, we need to talk about the benefits or drawbacks of a lease versus the sale of that property to if the Historical Society is interested in it. I'm really uncomfortable at this point with what I know about it. I'm really uncomfortable with the idea of a lease. It just doesn't make sense to me to have a piece that we own the piece of property, but we don't own the building that's on it. It just seems to me like that's kind of opening yourself up for some problems down the road, 10, 20 years. I understand the leasing works well for the old schoolhouse property because we own both the land and the building. So I think that that's part of what we have to have. For me, that's part of what the conversation is going to have to include. Is I just, it doesn't sound like a good business plan to have one entity own the land and the other entity own the building.
Okay. So we can plan to have them in. Oh, Alice, sorry, hand, I see it.
I'm a little unclear on what Brian's referencing about going to town meeting in order to sell it. That property was taken through judgment of tax taking, and Chris can sell that property or to any, I mean, yes, it has to be in a public forum, but it like an auction, but it does not have to go to town meeting to dispose of it.
Okay, well, you should be part of this conversation as well.
Well, because I have the judgment right in front of me. That's why I was like, wait a minute, I'm missing some piece of this because.
I had a conversation before with, I guess I thought we owned it in the same way we own all the other property, and therefore it's municipal property and has to fall under the rules for disposing of. Municipal property, but if you have a different angle on this, that's great. Let's hear it. You know.
Yeah, to the best of my knowledge, Chris could put it up for auction, and I mean, has to do proper posting, etc. And looks like it was a judgment, so theoretically, it's not land of low value. We don't have to get back the back taxes, so theoretically, it could be sold to the highest bidder. And if that was, for instance, the Historical Society, then they could, I mean, it's like, as you said, they can't, no one can build a house. So it's only a value to an abutter or someone who was looking to do like an outbuilding. So that might be an ideal situation to give them ownership of it in a minor amount of money.
Well, we should have this conversation with the Historical Society. And perhaps we should have a little bit of input from ahead of time from our town council.
So let's work on scheduling that then, Hilma, as well. We might as well do that with FinCom. If that's okay with FinCom. Sorry, I don't want to talk on your behalf. You can yell at me if you don't want to.
That's all good.
All right. Great. So Tom, I guess in follow-up, so all of those different items that we've kind of reviewed, we've gone over, you guys will have on your agenda for next week. We'll have some on our agenda for next week. And then we'll reconvene in 2 weeks from today, and we'll be able to have some good conversations along with a couple other, maybe Municipal Light Board or whoever else Hilma gets us scheduled up with.
Good. Yeah.
Great. So that's the list that I have, unless there's something else. Nobody had anything in the beginning when I asked, but you know, that now that we've spoken, anybody else on finance or select board have anything for tonight? If not, I'm just going to say thank you to everyone. This is good. We got a lot done, a lot of notes, a lot of steps forward. It's good. Finance, do you guys want to close your meeting?
Yes, but if we, in closing, can we still stay on as a guest on the at the rest of your meeting for a while?
Certainly, yeah.
I don't know how we do that, but.
Well, you're just going to close your meeting and you can stay as long as you want listening to the select board meeting. Is that what you mean?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so is there a motion to close our meeting?
I'll make that motion. Okay. I second.
Okay. Motion made and seconded. I don't think there's any discussion needed. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? So that's aye. Unanimous. So meeting is closed at 8:02 p.m.
Great. Thank you, FinCom. Greatly appreciated. Sounds like people are staying. We don't have much left on our meeting. The only item that we have left is one that Brian asked to bring up. So on the Recorder editorial, I've skimmed it. I haven't read it in depth.
You should read it. I mean, I'm concerned.
I will do that.
You know, there have been other ones that it's okay to be critical, you know, but this one alleges criminal conspiracy, and I think that we should not let that sit unanswered. But I, you know, I'm willing to go along with whatever town council would recommend. If he just says it's no big deal, let it go, fine. But it just really bothers me.
All right. So I'd like to recommend that, I'll give Sue a chance to talk. Well, go ahead, Sue, if you want to talk first or you want me to give my recommendation. I don't want to cut you off.
Yeah. I would really like to get a recommendation from Mark. Because I feel like, you know, people are threatening our reputations based on misinformation, and I don't like it.
Okay. Fair enough. I hear you both, and I will do my due diligence. I will do a reading. I will be in touch with council, and we'll put it on the agenda for next week. Does that work, Brian?
We may want to respond sooner than that.
Okay. So I'll ask Mark how we can handle that, and if we need to, we may have to do a follow-up meeting prior to that.
There is the absolute proof of the falsity of those accusations. We have a paper.
Okay. Today's Tuesday. If I talk to him tomorrow morning, you guys available for a Friday morning meeting if we want to call one?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll do my work right off first thing tomorrow morning, make the call, and I'll get right back to Hilma.
Are you setting a time for Friday morning?
I'm not, only because I don't know what time I'll be able to get in touch with Mark and then get in touch with Hilma.
Okay.
And we'll need to do the 48 hours. So, I'll call right off, but oftentimes I don't hear from him until about 9, you know, give or take sometimes. So I'm available in the morning for him to get in touch with me. So that won't be an issue. I won't hold it up. And I'll read better. All right, thank you. Other items, Brian, for tonight?
Nothing for tonight.
Okay. Sue?
Nothing.
Hilma?
Do you want to talk about what you want to cover next week?
Next week is building use. Remember, we're going to meet and kind of create our little outline or how we're going to handle this. Talk about building use. Is that what you're talking about next week? You're looking at me crazy, like I don't know what it, like.
Yeah. Just the three of you talk about building use.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. We have a bunch of homework from last week that we've got to get on. We want to talk about, we want to look at, the grading of positions. We've got a couple of positions we have to take a look at.
Mm-hmm.
We can put STM back on there again, just in case we want to talk about it a little bit more. Do we have other appointments for next week? I can't think of any. Sue?
I don't think so.
Okay.
When are we meeting with the Historical Society? Has that been set up?
Well, we were just thinking we would do it with FinCom now, so we'll probably do it at one of our budget meetings.
Okay.
So maybe, I don't know if it'll be the next week or not, but yeah. And then we'll have to, is there other things that you can think of, Brian? Oh, well, we should put green communities that we probably might have something by next week that we might want to add for green communities. COVID, of course. And anything else that comes up in the next couple of days.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks, Hilma. Appreciate it. All right, everybody. If there's nothing else, I can take a motion.
I move we adjourn.
Thanks, Ken.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Do I? Aye.
Rob and I. Thanks, all. Good meeting. Lots done. See you in a week. Or maybe right. Sooner. Or maybe sooner.
Or maybe.
Stay tuned. Bye. Thank you.